Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
If you work in a mental health facility, you will probably experience something very similar to what we experience, and that is that a large percentage of your patients come in and start off right away thinking that they have bipolar disorder.
Right. Yep.
And it's so interesting because when you ask, you know, what brings you in today? You know, especially new patients, you know, what brings you in today? Well, I think I have bipolar disorder, or my wife thinks I have bipolar disorder, or my husband thinks I have bipolar disorder, or my parents think I have bipolar disorder because I have mood swings.
Right.
And yesterday we talked a little bit about the difference between mood swings and bipolar disorder. So today we're going to talk about the prevalence of bipolar disorder.
It just exhausts me.
It does?
Well, you know, the problem with this is you're right. We all have mood swings.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about personality disorders.
Right.
And we said, the problem is a lot of people think they have a personality disorder, mm-hmm. when actually all they have is a normal personality. It's disorders are an expression of your personality.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a disorder. You have a personality. You're well within the normal range.
Mm-hmm.
But we attribute, you know, she's OCD or she's this or she's that. It's the same with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Any mood swing, and by any mood swing, I mean, there are youngsters, and typically this is affecting children and young teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
When they have temper tantrums, they're given the label of bipolar disorder. It's really not bipolar disorder.
Right.
It is a reaction to circumstances.
Right.
Okay, and it's not bipolar disorder. And I don't mean to be jaded or
right.
Conspiratorial here, but back in the 90s, we used to use intermittent explosive
right.
disorder as a diagnosis, but insurance companies didn't reimburse for it.
Right.
But as soon as people at some of the major centers in the country began using the diagnosis of bipolar disorder mm-hmm. to describe the same thing, insurance companies happily reimbursed for mm-hmm. it because it's a recognized disorder. And in a way, it may be that that's why we all think, why the diagnosis has become so much more common,
right.
is that insurance companies will reimburse. If you make the diagnosis of bipolar disorder, you're going to get reimbursed
mm-hmm.
for it. So that, too, is driving this whole thing.
Right.
But what we talked about yesterday is that it's also the belief that there must be something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
if my emotions are this big, if
mm-hmm.
they're this strong, if they're this intense, I must have something,
right.
you know, like bipolar disorder, or I must be depressed or something
right.
else. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, it's because, again, that need, that drive that we have sometimes to pathologize. Because we see something that, you know, do variations in mood, are they problematic? Sure, they can be.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so when something problematic is happening, we want to label it, we want to identify it, we want to name it something, because if we name it something, well, then that's bipolar, it's not me. It's bipolar disorder.
That's right.
There's
nothing wrong with me.
Right.
You know.
It's that I have this illness that I can't help.
Right.
And that's what's causing me to behave this way.
You know, one of the places where we really saw this was with learning disabilities
right.
and reading disorders. You know, 50 or 60 years ago, back in the 40s and 50s and early 60s, if a student wasn't doing well in school, we usually say, well, they're lazy or they're
mm-hmm.
they're worse. You know, there
right.
were other explanations that I won't even mention. But then as soon as you said, well, she has dyslexia or she
right.
has a learning disability, then it was, okay, so I understand what it is. It's
mm-hmm.
not my fault. It's not because I'm lazy
right.
or I have limited intellectual abilities. It's because I have this thing.
Right.
Okay. And we do the same thing with mental disorders.
Mm-hmm. With substance abuse.
Right, right. It's not me.
It's you know, my alcoholism.
Right.
Or it's, you know, it's a disease I can't help.
Right. It's nothing that it's not a moral failing mm-hmm. on my part. It's I have this disorder, and if I take the right medication, I'll be better.
Right.
Okay. When actually, like the rest of us, you just have to work real hard
right.
to deal with the normal changes in feelings
right.
that you have from day to day
right.
and within a day.
Right.
And you work through those challenges.
And it's not to say that, you know, people with the authentic
That's
mental
right.
health condition, you know, you need more than to just work hard. But it's we're talking about, of course, people who have some of the symptoms that are commonly associated or
yeah.
are attributed to these illnesses that aren't really the illness.
What is the prevalence of bipolar disorder?
You'll see different ranges.
Right.
But somewhere between 2.5% and 5% of
That's
the
right.
population.
Worldwide. It's
worldwide.
About 2.4 in the United States, about 2.6 or something
mm-hmm.
like that. All right. That means that only 2.5% of the population
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to simplify it, but there's a 97% chance that it's not bipolar disorder.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm so 97% of us have normal variations in mood.
Mm-hmm.
Only a little less than 3% of us,
mm-hmm.
so 3 out of 100
right.
might have a diagnosis of bipolar disorder. So the overwhelming chance is that you don't have bipolar disorder.
And that's those are percentages for bipolar spectrum disorders.
That's right.
Because there are several types that we'll get to later this week. But yeah, I mean, when you think about classic traditional bipolar type 1 is what
right.
we typically think of with bipolar disorder, the prevalence of bipolar disorder type 1 is about 1%.
That's right.
So it's even
so
less.
So if you're thinking,
chance.
Well, is this a manic episode? There's a 99% chance that it's not.
Right.
Okay. And that's how you have to think of these disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I think of them whether I'm thinking about my own family members
mm-hmm.
or patients that I see. There's an enormous chance that it's
right.
not a diagnosis.
Right.
And I think we need to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of us in the profession need to be very careful. I realize that we're dealing with a select population. I get all that. But the chances are you don't have one of these diagnoses.
Right.
Because, as we said yesterday, a manic episode is a major event in
right.
your life. There's absolutely no question that you have it.
Right.
And even a unipolar depression, which we talked about
mm-hmm.
last week, these are major, major mood changes
right.
That affect a very small percentage of the population.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, when we're thinking about the prevalence, there is some variability based upon age.
Right.
We already talked about the issue of childhood right. onset. You know, it's very rare that a child prior to puberty would really begin to present with the symptoms that would meet criteria from the
right.
diagnostic and statistical manual for
exactly.
for mania or
mm-hmm.
for bipolar disorder. In adolescence, it increases because then we do have some data to suggest that
mm-hmm.
you know teenagers, especially after puberty, do have the capacity and the potential of presenting with symptoms consistent with
That's right.
what we traditionally think of as bipolar.
As you move through adolescence, particularly into middle to late adolescence,
mm-hmm.
from about 16 on, you're moving very close to an adult
mm-hmm.
brain. I mean,
right.
prior to that, when you're pre-pubertal or just into puberty, you still have a developing brain
right.
that's changing. But as you move toward your 20s, get into late adolescence, you're very similar to an adult brain, and you can have these adult type symptoms.
Right.
Prior to that, it's pretty rare to have a child who has 7 days of mania.
Right.
Kids just don't operate that way.
Right. Now, one of the challenging things when it comes to diagnosing bipolar disorder, there's two things.
Right.
One is just what you're talking about. The criteria requires the symptoms to present in a very specific
right.
way
right.
and for a very specific duration.
Mm-hmm.
But the second major problem is that when we think of bipolar disorder, we're talking about bipolar, meaning that there's two sets of behaviors
right.
for which mm-hmm. a person can behave. Mania is one end.
Right.
And depression is the other end.
Right.
It used to be referred to as manic depressive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trying to make sure that we talk about this in the least complicated way possible, but a person could present, and you, when you look up statistics and when you look up some of this information, you'll find this, and this is why we're mentioning it. A person can present with a depressive episode, their first episode, first mood-related episode in, say, adolescence, could be depressive, mm-hmm. a depressive episode. Their first five episodes could be depressive episodes.
Right.
But as we'll talk about tomorrow when we talk about causes, the problem is if that person really has bipolar disorder, but has only presented with depressive episodes so mm-hmm. far,
right.
they're going to be identified as depressed.
Not bipolar.
Not bipolar.
That's right. The first step.
And this puts us at risk for some things, because if you treat bipolar disorder in the same way medically as you would depression,
right.
you're going to have some pretty awful results.
Right.
You're at risk for
if you treat them medically.
Right.
With drugs. Yeah.
Right. So what you find sometimes is people will be diagnosed with depression early on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as time goes by, that person may experience a manic episode, which then shifts the diagnosis to bipolar disorder.
So,
and the
I can't stress that enough,
right.
that you need this manic episode to
right.
make this diagnosis.
It's required.
And mania is you know, 7 days mm-hmm. of mania. Otherwise,
right.
it's something else.
Right.
And you can't stress the importance of that enough.
Right.
People throw this around like she has bipolar disorder. Not without a significant manic episode, she doesn't.
Right. So because of this presentation, because it has to be these distinct mm-hmm. episodes, a person could have bipolar disorder, begin having symptoms, episodes in adolescence,
mm-hmm.
but not be diagnosed with bipolar disorder until their 30s or 40s.
Exactly. That's right.
Because it's not until then that they really start to recognize these mm-hmm. manic episodes.
Right.
And when we talk about the assessment, we'll talk about the difference between mania, mm-hmm. hypomania,
right.
and cyclothymia.
These are
three different ways in which mania or manic-like behaviors can present.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have different ones at different times. It's I guess the short story is bipolar disorder is a very complicated beast.
Right.
And it really requires a lot of time and energy and expertise to make mm-hmm. the diagnosis appropriate.
Right. Yeah, yes. And there are people who will argue that we're making it too often.
Right.
And we might be. In our country, in worldwide, I think it's a 2.4%
mm-hmm.
Prevalence rate. The U.S. has the highest rates. And as it turns out, India, I believe, has the lowest, like 0.1%. But this is a brain-based disorder. I mean, it's,
mm-hmm,
this is a neurologic event,
we'll talk
if
about
you
that
will,
tomorrow, yeah.
right? And so it's pretty hard to believe that it really varies that much from country to country.
Right.
Probably it has more to do with how often you make the diagnosis, what the criteria are, because the criteria in India could be very different than the criteria in the United States.
Well, right. But we also have, we know that we have cultural differences.
Cultural differences.
We talk a lot in our workshops about the Amish community.
Right.
They have bipolar disorder just as often as you know, right. non-Amish cultures. But the impact that the bipolar has on the individual is far less.
Right.
Because of their rigid social system, because of their rigid schedules,
they sleep better than our children.
Right.
The Amish children, there is early onset bipolar disorder in the Amish community.
Right.
I mean, it's been well established for decades, but they sleep differently.
Right.
Those children go to, first of all, they're tired because mm-hmm. they all work all day.
Right.
They go to sleep when it's dark and they get up when it's light.
Mm-hmm.
There are no distractions, there's no electricity, there's no artificial light.
Right.
So first of all, they sleep better than our children.
Mm-hmm.
And second, as you say, they have this supportive environment
right.
where
right.
everybody's sort of looking out for these kids.
Right.
Their symptoms, they have the symptoms, but they're less severe.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one of the last things to mention with today's podcast is something we mentioned at the end of yesterday's podcast related to suicide.
Right.
We talked about that when we are referring to these mood-related disorders. Last week was depression, this week is bipolar disorder. We're talking about conditions that increase one's risk for suicide. The very sad and interesting statistics as it relates to bipolar disorder and suicide is that the very, and this harkens to the very critical nature of the disorder itself, is that being diagnosed with bipolar disorder results in a 9.2-year reduction in lifespan expectation.
Right. Yeah.
So if you have bipolar disorder, the expectation of your lifespan automatically decreases, but on average, by about 9 years.
Right.
Moreover, people with bipolar disorder, about 20% of people with bipolar disorder attempt and complete suicide.
Right.
So it's, again, a very serious, serious mental health condition that requires attention and treatment. People who receive adequate treatment, you know, they do far better than those who don't. But, you know, treatment adherence is critical. You have to stick to it. You have to keep working with your providers because the risk is ever present.
Right.
So.
One other thing that, can I add one more thing?
Sure.
Because you had said that one more thing we're going to add. We in the United States, our rates for many of these things are higher. Higher for ADHD, higher for bipolar disorder. And there are writers who believe that it may be an immigrant problem.
Oh, okay.
Because my grandfather, for example, who came here at 16, he had several other family members. But the people who came here, I mean, imagine that you're 15 or 16 or 17 years old. He came here by himself.
Risk takers.
Okay. They were risk takers.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that they could do anything. Mm-hmm. We call that grandiosity in our field, right?
Right.
Impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what I'm going to do.
Go jump on a chip.
I'm going to leave my family, go on a 30 or 40 day trip across the ocean and go to a place where I don't know anybody. I don't speak the language. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
That's a level of impulsivity that most of us don't have.
Right.
Okay. That's who came here.
Mm-hmm.
I know that many of them left because they had nothing, they weren't leaving anything, okay? They had nothing to, but it's a certain type of person who emigrates to another country and think you can make it there, okay?
Right.
And so we might be a select group.
Right.
And the ancestors might be a select group.
Well, and I think that there's one other way to interpret that. And because it could be true that we have, that there's the immigrant, sort of that selective population. But I think the other reason that we have such increased rates here in the United States is because maybe more so than other cultures, we are relatively intolerant to different.
True.
We set a certain level of expectation.
Especially in schools.
Especially in schools.
Right.
And when a person doesn't meet those expectations, man, there must be something wrong with that person.
And for the 20% of school children who don't, they are identified and they're tested and they're segregated and they're treated differently because they're just not like everybody else.
Right.
You're right. You're right about that. And access to health care.
Mm-hmm.
Why are these things always underrepresented in people in poverty? Because they don't access health care, so they don't get counted.
Right.
You know, they're not part of the epidemiological studies.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it is a word of caution when interpreting and comparing prevalence rates from country to country, because there's just, you know, there's lifestyle differences, which makes a massive difference. There's expectations that are different that makes a big impact on it. So yeah, we have to be careful of that.
Yeah. So be careful about these differences because we're not sure why they exist.
Right.
Many explanations we don't really know yet.
Right, absolutely.
But worldwide, it's about 2.5% of the world's population well, it's in their lifetime experience, right. This disorder.
So. Right. So, all right. Well, that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.